You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. This is John Williams. We're produced by Pete Zimmerman. And here is Stephen Esposito, Executive Director, Wealth Advisor, the Senior Portfolio Management Director at Morgan Stanley in Lake Forest. Stephen, good to have you on the show again. How are you today?
I'm great. How about you?
I don't know. I keep hearing, I'm fine, thank you, but as much as we talk about jobs on this show, I think I get more and more confused the more I learn about the health of the economy or of the job market. Talk to me a little bit about the numbers you're seeing and what they mean.
Well, the numbers came in great, much better than expected. They up over 500,000 new jobs. The private sector was actually 600,000 jobs, so that was really good. They also revised up, the last 2 months, another 250,000 jobs. So I don't really pay that much attention each time they come out with it, because like we just said, they revised upward the last 2 months dramatically. So it's more of a trend you're looking for than actual job numbers, but the numbers are great. People are going back to work. I think it's good. I think there's other factors with supply chains, et cetera, that are affecting them. But at the same time, an interesting number was the amount of job openings, despite the gain in jobs, went up to 11 million. So we now
That may be part of my confusion. When you say we gained 500,000 jobs, do you mean 500,000 extra people went to work, or rather that 500,000 job openings have been created?
No, 500,000 people went to work in the last 12 months, according to what they reported. And the reports of the last 2 months was actually low what really happened. And they'll probably adjust this one up or down. But that was another 250,000 jobs. So really, there's 500,000 more people working. The flip side of this is, which is actually good, more jobs were created. So more and more people are hiring, and that's good for the economy and a good sign. So, but we need to fill 11 million jobs to be at full employment.
And how many people are out of work and looking? Is it more or less than 11 million?
You know, it depends, because a lot of them are different categories you put them in. How have 11 million jobs and only 4 million people? They're saying going back to work. There's so many variables with vaccine mandates and people can't go back to work and some were let go. There's so many moving parts, it's really hard to tell. I would just focus on the big picture that people are going back to work and the demand for workers is off the charts. That signals a really strong economy. And once the supply chains and everything else catches up, it could be a real big boom in the economy, which is where I'm invested.
Is this the wild card or the great unknown? We don't know how many of those people who lost their jobs are going to go back to work, want to go back to work. They've either retired or they've died or they've decided to live with less or they found another means to get along. But we don't really have a handle on that, do we?
No, not really. We don't, unfortunately. We're in unprecedented times with the pandemic, the shutting down of the world's largest economy, the sudden reopening of it. It's just not that smooth. So we're learning. We haven't been through a pandemic before. It's been 100 years since there was a pandemic. We'll learn through this one. But I think, again, when you look through it all, the fact of the matter is we have demand exceeds supply. That, to me, is much better than the other way around.
Yeah. One last question about that. Then we'll pause. I also want to talk to you about trade. I want to talk to you about the Pfizer new pill that's maybe 89% effective and what that means. But do you think that the labor shortage in this country, such as it is would be alleviated if we liberalized our immigration policies, or are they being exacerbated right now by our immigration policies? Is that a factor at all?
I can't tell you one way or the other from the immigration side of it. I can tell you that, again, assuming the numbers from the government are accurate, and I question all the numbers because they're constantly revising them, but I do know from talking to individuals throughout the country, and I have clients all over the country and who own companies and run companies, and they're all looking for help. Everybody needs help, and there are shortages. But one thing I've also learned in, as we said, nearly four decades, it will catch up. 15 months ago, we were all fighting over toilet paper and hand sanitizer, and now you have all you can get. It will happen. Capitalism works. Somebody's going to make a lot of money fixing this problem in businesses, and it'll work. So I'm not worried. I'm more excited about the future than I'm worried about it.
Stephen Esposito from Morgan Stanley. Okay, so let's talk about trade. Let's talk about that Pfizer pill in a minute. Stephen, what are you hearing about this Pfizer pill, and what does it mean to all of us besides the folks at Pfizer?
Yeah, I heard it this morning, and it was wonderful. It was even better than they thought in terms of its ability. I think it's 89% you mentioned that it works with. That's a game changer. The vaccine was a game changer. This is another game changer. This will allow so many more people to be comfortable. You're going to see the travel industry opening up. That's why you're seeing many of the cyclical companies we've talked about over the past several months rallying strong today. You're not seeing it in the indexes, but you're seeing the breadth of the market. There's 26 stocks up for every 12 down and 424 new 52-week highs, and those are mostly in the cyclical companies. So if that indicates a faster opening for the U.S. economy and the rest of the world as we head into 2022, you'll see investors pouring more money into those sectors, which they are doing today, and they're coming out of the sectors that were rallying during the lockdown. That's what you're seeing. The rotation we talked about is finally happening.
That ratio you just gave, up to down, can you do that again?
There's basically 2-to-1 advancers over decliners in the broad market. But to look at the indexes, like the Dow, as you said, at less than 0.5%, and the S&P is up 0.33%, the broad market is performing better than the indexes are doing right now. That's the stealth bull market I think you're going to see going forward in those companies that do not dominate the indexes. The broad market, is, I think, will continue to outperform dramatically. You just won't know it unless you're in those companies.
Yeah, that's a part of the economy or part of the indices that you tend to focus on and talk with us about a lot. Did Pfizer have a bounce from this? I didn't see what their stock did in the last 24 hours.
Oh, absolutely.
Hours.
Pfizer ran up about almost 3 points today. And many of the other companies that have vaccines are down today. So the market will move quickly.
Yeah, I keep stepping on you. I apologize. Do you think that the last year at this time, and for much of last year, the economy was sort of predicated on how the pandemic was going, or the vaccine was going, a medication was going. If the news got better, the market did better. If the news got bad about COVID, then the market got bad. Are we going to be tied that way to vaccine news or COVID news going forward?
I think so to a degree, but now the news is turning positive that maybe we're coming out of this and the future is bright. They had Scott Gottlieb, who's on the board of Pfizer and also is one of the most accurate ones on this morning on the news, talking about that maybe this is behind us. It looks like you can see a light at the end of the tunnel and it's looking good, especially with this Pfizer pill. And who knows what else is out there in the works. I'm sure there's more items. Europe's got a few problems today with a spike, but this could help it dramatically in Europe. So as we go farther and we come out of this, and we will, as I've talked about for months, you want to be in the companies and the investments that are going to benefit from that the most. And that's where all the earnings surprises are coming in, mostly is in the cyclical companies, because everybody was so pessimistic. Now they're revisiting those earnings expectations and finding out business is better. Wait till we actually reopen in Q1 and Q2 as we go. It's going to be even better.
Talk to me about trade. What's your view of all of that?
It's all, again, you really can't look at it as being accurate right now because of the supply situation. My understanding, there's 72 tankers or supply ships that are off the coast of California. That's more than it was 2 months ago. If you believe that eventually will catch up, then the trade numbers I wouldn't trust right now until we know what is actually happening with the supply chains. So the trade was one of the worst trade deficits we've had in a long time recently. But again, I don't put too much credence in that right now. I just know that the demand exceeds supply and that eventually will work itself out.
I don't know if you saw what Senator Josh Hawley said from Missouri. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times a couple weeks ago. He said we need a Make in America bill that will require 50%+ of certain categories to be made in the USA, or at least severe penalties that will disincentivize companies from not making it 50%+ in the USA. That's used to be called protectionism. I'm not sure now if it's not a bad idea. What's your thought about that?
I mean, the thought behind it is there. We should be making as much product here as we can for not only American workers and jobs, but at the same time for national security. One of the biggest concerns right now, of course, is what is going on near Taiwan, and Taiwan makes 50% of the semiconductors. If for something to happen there, that would have a dramatic impact on the markets and the economy, and my outlook going forward would change because of that and the fear associated with that. But that's understandable. The more we can take care of ourselves here, the more workers we'll make, the more money will be made, the economy will grow better. And there's something to be said. Whether you have to mandate it is one thing. I would rather see them give financial incentives to do that rather than requiring it. I think you're better off with the capitalism angle rather than, as you pointed out, would be protectionism.
Are you worried about inflation at all?
You know, it's here. I've seen it before. I was in this business in the 80s when we had 18% interest rates and 18% inflation. I remember those days. We were told it would never end. And now we would never go back to interest rates below 10%. I remember a 12% mortgage was good. And look at what happened. So this will spike for the near term. But technology is a great deflationary technology because you can buy things all over the world. And again, capitalism works. So I think it's temporary. I don't know what the definition would be, some people's definition of temporary. Mm-hmm. But I think it will work itself out. And as it does, we'll be fine. But I think workers getting higher wages right now is better, is good for everybody because everybody has more money to spend and afford. And the living wage is growing dramatically. I like that. I think it's good for the economy and good for everybody.
Well, I think that's the carrot that you're going to need to get some people back to work anyway. So if it's inflationary, so be it. And there's plenty of people that think it's going to be transitory anyway for some of the reasons that you mentioned. But I just wonder how big that carrot has to be. But it seems like that has to be part of the equation.
Absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. But you can tell from my tone, I'm very excited about what's happening. And my job is to manage investors' money and make sure we try to make them as much money as we can within their risk parameters. And I'm liking what I'm seeing here as we've talked for months about this rotation. And it's going on, but again, I can't emphasize enough, not only workers doing well, businesses are doing better, but the rotation is underneath the surface. And if you're not invested in those areas, you're not going to know it. So you can see an index that goes somewhat sideways while portfolios go up dramatically in those types of stocks.
I have just a few seconds left, but is there a lot of money on the sidelines still, and are investors waiting to put that into markets?
Absolutely. There's trillions. Not only for the purpose of investing, but for really the economy, to spend into the economy. Also, as you're getting the rotation out of where the bulk of the money was invested in, the stay-at-home stocks, that money is simply rotating into the companies that everybody ignored. So yeah. People during the pandemic were selling cyclicals to buy the stay-at-home stocks. Now their rotation is going the other direction, and it's not even close to being done yet. Not even close.
The stay-at-home stocks. Are those the FANGs, you mean? The technology companies, the Zoom, stuff like that?
Right. Look at many of the high flyers without naming names. Everybody knows who they were that were doing really well. And if you look at the performance of many of those companies, I'm not recommending or saying buy or sell anything, but if you look at some of the companies, today's an example of Peloton. I'm not talking about buy, sell, or hold at all. I'm using an example that a stock was 170, today's 56. And you look at Teladoc, or you look at Zoom, or any of those companies where their highs were a year ago, where they are today. That's an example of the rotation you're seeing into the cyclicals. And you look at where the automobile companies were a year ago, or many of the retailers were a year ago, bricks and mortar. Many of those, you can see it just by looking at the rotation. And that's where the money's coming from. But you still have trillions of dollars on the sidelines.
Stephen Esposito from Morgan Stanley, morganstanley.com. He's the executive director and wealth advisor at Morgan Stanley in Lake Forest. We'll talk again, Stephen. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, sir.
I was a little surprised what I was reading from Dennis Rodkin. As much as we talk about supply chain issues, we've also heard that the cost of lumber has gone down. And yet, I think there's still a connection between supply chain and real estate prices. Dennis joins us now, the residential real estate reporter at Crain's. Hey, Dennis, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Pretty good. What about that? I mean, is there still a connection here? What's going on?
It is. Yes, lumber prices have come down. However, when you're building or remodeling, people are finding so much logjam in the pipeline. It's not just lumber. It's appliances. It's windows. Over the last couple of weeks, I spoke to several remodeling and rehab contractors who said, they have multiple price increases over a period when they would have had no price increase or one. They have to pass that along to the customers. They're ordering product far earlier than they ever would, and in many cases, putting it in storage, because if you're used to ordering windows at a certain time in the construction process, they now are coming so much slower that you would have big holes in the project while you waited weeks or months for those windows or any other product to come in.
It's interesting, and maybe not surprising, you quote Bob Fisher, the owner of Marvin Windows. He said, we've gone from 3 to 4 weeks to 16 or 20 weeks. And,
I
consumers know that. They don't like that. They got no choice. Are they therefore not purchasing, or are they being patient and waiting?
You know, I went into it assuming that people would be saying, you know, I can't do this job. I can't handle the frustration. I'll wait till next year. But most of the contractors I've spoken to, including Bob at Evanston Lumber, who also owns a Marvin Windows Gallery, most of them said people who are coming in to get a job done, who want to start a remodeling project, one, have heard about the delays, so they're ready to sort of bob and weave as necessary, and two, know that prices are just going to be higher next year. You know, we know everything is going up, and one contractor said to me, it's not as if these price increases they've been able to charge this year are suddenly going to go away next year, so waiting doesn't seem to be the strategy. At least it isn't the strategy that these people I spoke to have seen, but there may be people sitting at home right now saying, well, yeah, we were going to remodel and we just didn't. It's hard to prove that negative when doing the reporting.
Yeah, right. But it's also hard to know. Brenda and I ordered a refrigerator freezer this summer, and we're hopeful we get it by Christmas. Well, I guess we could have put the kibosh on the whole thing right when we made the purchase, but we also weren't sure when we bought it how long it was going to take. So,
eating out of coolers for months? You have a couple of coolers in the kitchen?
We're doing a lot less entertaining. Let me just put it that way. Although the rich do seem to be getting richer, too. You said that the Chicago real estate market crossed a threshold. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is actually quite a figure. Ordinarily, in the course of a 12-month calendar year, January to December, we would see 50 to 60 homes sell at $4 million or more. This year, just through October, we've seen 75, compared to, again, a yearly total that generally runs in the 50 to 60 range. We had one year where it hit 72, and that was largely because one of the big luxury condo buildings closed, and there were 23 sales in that building alone. This time, that's not the case. It's not dominated by one condo building. It's dominated by people who are spending stock wealth, spending money that they've gained. This is what the agents are telling me. It's money that we've gained in the stock market, and we want to have some fun with it. We want to get something we comb off some of our proceeds, keep a lot still riding in the market, and we go out and get a $4 million condo, an $8 million condo.
I understand the desire to sell, to capture that, you know, wealth, but I wonder if real estate is the right place to put it in right now, because you're also buying at a high, aren't you?
You're buying in a very active market. I don't think we have any feeling that prices are going to go down. You're certainly buying at a high compared to 2 years ago, but 2 years hence, there's no sign yet that things are really going to drop. We're not in a bubble. We don't appear to be in a bubble like places like Phoenix and Seattle and San Francisco, where prices were running up 20, 25, 30%. Our home prices went up about 12 to 13% in the course of the pandemic boom. They've stopped growing that fast. And it just doesn't look to me as if we're going to see prices go back down. So once again, if I don't buy that $8 million condo today, it might be an $8.5 million condo a year, 2 years from now.
Hmm. So gobble it up while you can, kids. I was
and they've
Brendan
been doing that. Go ahead.
No, finish that thought. Yeah, so people really are, aren't they?
They really are, and it's going to be interesting to see if this lasts through the end of the year. There's no reason to think it won't. There are a couple of big condo developments that are opening up. There's St. Regis, which some people know as Vista Tower. There's the Tribune Tower. There are still very high-end units at One Bennett Park, all of those right at the mouth of the river. Or right near the mouth of the river, I should say, and that's been a very active area. So we may see more sales we may see it even pick up from where it's been and end this year at a number that I can't even imagine.
That St. Regis is just a glorious building on the landscape right next to the lake along Lakeshore Drive there, just actually two doors east of WGN Radio. It's just a spectacular building. And I do see lights on in there. Are people living in there? What's the occupancy? Do you know that?
I don't know. The developers won't say exactly how many are sold, but I do, because they don't put everything in the real estate records. But I do, on my list, I have at least 30 units that have sold for $1 million or more in that building. There are several hundred units in that building, but yeah. I do know that there have been, we've seen sales in there at $6 and $7 million. Wow. You know, and from your windows, you can also see the Tribune Tower, which came out of the box this year, this fall, with an $8.5 million condo. And I think there are probably more that we'll find out about.
We asked the folks from St. Regis, the Jeannie Gang building, to come on our show and sell us. I said, oh, we'll give you some free time. Come on the show, make your pitch. They said, no, thank you. Maybe because it's such a specific market, they don't want, you know, every schlub in the suburbs like me to kind of stick their nose in there. But I was a little disappointed that they didn't take us up on the offer. I want a tour, you know?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, John. I've had the same experience. They're sort of closed-mouthed to the press. And I'm not really sure why, because a lot of developers, you know, they'll offer it, come on in, drink a glass of champagne, that sort of thing. And yes, at the St. Regis, they have been sort of closed-mouthed, and I don't know why.
If they knew what the people at Tree Time are paying for a commercial here, they would take advantage of this opportunity for free advertising. But no, they don't want it. Kind of hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you can read more about this, not the thing I just said, from Dennis Rodkin, the real estate residential expert at Cranes. Visit chicagobusiness.com. Nice to talk to you, Dennis, as always. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, John.
1244 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We've got more business news. This is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Auto rates are going up at Allstate. The increases averaged nearly 7% nationally, but in Texas, rates are going up 8%. Inflation and supply chain issues are to blame and combined to produce the worst auto insurance underwriting results in more than a decade during the third quarter for Allstate. The company paid out more than $102 in claims and costs for every $100 in auto premiums it collected. It's the first time since 2016 the Northbrook-based business reported an underwriting loss in auto insurance. Kraft Heinz is making the first changes to its Velveeta cheese brand in nearly 20 years. The new logo appears more bold and simple, and gone is the phrase liquid gold. New is the phrase La Dolce Velveeta, a play on La Dolce Vita, which means the sweet life in Italian. The rebrand has been inspired by what Kraft believes is a new generation of eaters. And in February, Velveeta will place La Dolce Velveeta ads in Vogue magazine that imitates fashion spreads. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
With the business of food, here's Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. Many of our listeners have been sharing their gas pains with us, telling us how much their heating bills have gone up because of the jump in natural gas prices. Nicor Gas, the company that has over 2 million customers in northern Illinois, can't control the gas prices, but it is trying to make, take the sting out of the bills for people who can least afford them with groceries.
Yeah, we are so excited to partner with Gooder to host 3 pop-up grocery events this weekend.
Mina Byers is Vice President of Business and Community Development for Nicor Gas.
We're going to be in Joliet today and in Rockford tomorrow and University Park on Sunday, providing pop-up grocery stores for some food insecure communities.
She says in the nearly 700 communities Nicor serves, there are people in need.
And we have bill payment assistance programs to help them with their utility bills, but we knew they needed much more.
And what's really cool about these grocery stores?
They are free. The other thing that's really unique about it is that Gooder works to locally source the produce. They partnered with a local small business, T. Castro Produce, to deliver food packages to our customers.
How many people are you expecting?
We're hoping with these 3 events, we're going to provide 2,500 families with a week's worth of fresh groceries. And that's going to include produce, meat, eggs, dairy alternatives.
These pop-ups are by registration only, and they're mostly full, but there are still a few spots available. Go to WGNradio.com and search for the Business of Food, and you'll find the links to Nicor Gas's pop-ups today, tomorrow, and Sunday. But if you miss out, there's more help on the way.
Our economic development team will continue to work with these communities to see if we can bring more permanent solutions to the food insecurity that exists there.
Mina Byers of Nicor Gas. Again, to register, go to WGNradio.com and search for the Business of Food, and you'll see the links to the registration. Chicago Board of Trade's in the red today. Beans are down 14 cents, 12.08. Corn is down 6 at 5.53. And wheat's trading down about 6 cents at 7.67 and a quarter. From the farm to your belly, today is National Donut Day. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
I want to talk a little bit about the business of moving. Kelly Bennett's on a line, the director of marketing at Borman Moving and Storage. This is a local company you hear about sometimes on WGN. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good. You guys go back in the Chicago area since 1926, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we're right over 95 years, which is insane. Fourth generation of family. So it's pretty cool.
So then I wonder what the last 2 years have been like. We've heard people are moving to the suburbs. I don't know if they call Borman Moving or the likes of you, but just talk about what business has been for you the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's been super interesting, just like the whole world has been super interesting. But so we see a ton of, we do local moves and long distance moves. So we typically see a ton of people moving out of state, you know, getting to those warmer weathers, especially heading into the winter. But in 2020, we actually saw a 45% increase in our local moves over 2019. So when everyone was stuck in the house and bored, we saw people moving around, getting a new house locally. And then this year, on top of that local moving, with 3 months left, we're already 10% over what our moves were locally in 2020.
Wow.
So people are moving around town like crazy.
You know, you hate to say what has happened in the last couple of years is good for anybody, but some businesses were able to prosper. So the moving industry, by you did okay, huh?
Yeah. And it's tough because, you know, working is when everyone was in lockdown and things like that, we weren't able to go into the office, but people were still moving their houses. So we were able to keep our crews super busy and kept those guys on staff, which was super nice to be able to still know who's moving our customers, which is huge because you're loading your whole life onto a truck. That's scary. So knowing that we know all of the guys that are going to be doing it, guys and girls, I should say, that are doing that is just another blessing that we have been able to keep through this crazy time.
Does the business drop off now that it's colder?
We thought it would. Typically, in a typical year, but I don't know what a typical year looks like anymore. The past 2 years have been very strange, but in a good way for us at least.
Yeah.
So usually right now, after Halloween, we usually drop off. People want to be stable, set in where they're going to be for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for all the holidays that are to come. But we're still crazy busy through the end of November. I mean, we've got four moves a day at least going out every week.
So, you know, that tells me something then about what's happening in Chicagoland, doesn't it? I mean, are you talking people from the Chicago area who are moving to the Chicago area or elsewhere? But these are moves originating from the Chicago area, right?
Yeah. So we do say everything moving from Chicagoland area, around the Chicagoland area, or out of state as well. So long distance, we've seen some increase in that to 13% over from 2020 to now. We've seen a 13% increase in that as well. But the local moves are still staying very strong. So that's the four or five moves that we have every day, every week going. Those are just local for us right now. That's what I was looking at. Yeah. So people are still moving and staying here.
You'll hate this. Well, that's it. See, Kelly, you're going to hate this, I was about to say, because I want to give everybody a please don't go packet when they're packing up the truck. But if they're staying in the Chicago area, or if for every family that moves out, one moves back in, and my understanding is that's not happening, but you would know, you're the ones that are packing the trucks.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So everybody, it is an increase of people staying around here. So not everybody's leaving. It may sound like it. But really, we've seen a greater increase in our local moving than long distance moving through these past couple of years.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that on a local move, people tend to pack more of their stuff on their own. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, they can take those valuables in their own car, those super high valuables, you know, those irreplaceable items, because they're going around the corner, you know, down the street, a little town over, whatever it may be. They do tend to pack those things on their own. For long distance, though, I mean, you can be going. Our most popular destination is Florida, Arizona, Tennessee. They're not super close destinations, so having a professional packer do that, like we can provide, is just so much more beneficial, and you know the things are going to arrive going over state borders in a much better condition because a professional was doing it.
Kelly Bennett is the director of marketing at Boorman Moving and Storage. Interesting to see how that's been impacting your business. And use them if you're moving into Illinois, too, okay? That's my recommendation.
Yes.
BOERMAN.com, Boorman. Hey, Kelly, good on you. Thanks for giving us some of your time today.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it.